You're in the home 6010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get to your podcast. Field and Matthew and Kyle Soppe are here today. You're probably wondering, where on earth is Stefania Bell? And Matthew, what happened was, after seeing the tropical landscape of Buffalo, New York last night, she decided to make her all the way up to Orchard Park.
No, she's boondoggling is what she's doing. I mean, she's in Nashville, Tennessee, actually, of all places. Wow. I know this for a fact.
Tough to be her, huh?
Right? I mean, Nashville is a great, great city. One of the all-time great cities in this country. You and I are here in not as cold as Orchard Park, but still pretty cold Bristol, Connecticut. We're in here. We're talking fantasy football for the masses. We are grinding the tape. We are crunching the numbers. We are punching out the content for the people, for the folks, for the people at home. Because you know what? It's win or go home week for so many people. It is week 14. You are doing that. I am doing that. Thirsty Kyle is in here doing that. And yet, no Daniel Dopp, no Stefania Bell. So, Thirsty Kyle, throw up a poll for me if you can.
There we go.
Throw up a poll for me. Who loves you more? Wow. Matthew and Field, Stefania and Daniel.
Okay.
Yep. Just that's the question. Who loves you more?
Yep.
And the one answer is Matthew and Field.
Yep.
And the other answer is Stefania and Daniel.
If there's not,
or 100%. As I like to call them, the boondogglers.
Yeah. Ooh, you could just call them the boondogglers. That might work as well. If there's not 100% approval for the two of us right here, there's a problem.
Anyway, she's sitting in, like, you know, she's probably, Stefania right now is probably having a beer at Tootsie's and, you know, listening to some great live music right now.
Yeah, which is the cool part about Nashville, by the way, is I remember going to a bachelor party there several years ago, and it was like Wednesday at like 11:30. And the performing act, that's not exactly the time you bring out the stars. And I was like, this is the single most talented musician I've ever heard in my life. And the only gig that person could get in Nashville was like 11:30 on a Wednesday, like an empty bar.
You go up and down Broadway, which is that main street there. Yeah. And it's unbelievable. Every place you walk into is A, packed, and B, there is somebody on stage where you're like, you're awesome. You should be a big star. And then you go to the next place. You're like, whoa, you're even more awesome. Yeah. You should be an even bigger star. Like, it's amazing. I went there this summer with Beth and a group of people, and we went there for a week, and we cannot wait to get back.
You know
it
what?
It was just an awesome, love me some Nashville.
We should do a live show there one day.
I am in on that.
If we do a live show, which hopefully we return to live shows next season, I vote Nashville. Not that it's my decision, but I do vote
Nashville.
We're going to do a Monday Night Football recap. We're going to talk about waiver wires, but we begin with just one piece of news, and that is that Chargers wide receiver Keenan Allen has been placed on the reserve COVID-19 list. Keenan Allen was one of 11 players placed on that list yesterday around the NFL. All 11 of them were as a result of a positive test. Head coach Brandon Staley did follow up, because they are on the West Coast. His press conferences are frequently after the announcements of transactions. He said, we're hoping to get some good news here in the next few days in regards to Keenan Allen. The implication there, if I'm reading it correctly, would be that he is a vaccinated player and the potential for him returning this week is in the cards. Remember, they just had Joey Bosa, who was a high-risk close contact. He was able to, I guess he never tested positive, but still, like, they've had, better example, TJ Watt this past week for the Pittsburgh Steelers goes on the list on Monday, is activated on Saturday, 3.5 sacks on Sunday. So some guys are obviously unique talents. They can do great things without practice. Keenan Allen will be one of those, Matthew. But if he sits, there's at least an opportunity for somebody like Jalen Guyton, who ends up cracking the waiver wire this week.
Yeah, listen, Guyton obviously had the big play last week. He's a big play threat. He obviously runs a bunch of different routes than Keenan Allen, but he also is somebody that runs a bunch of routes. Yeah. Now, when you've got Austin Ekeler, when you've got Mike Williams, when you've got Keenan Allen, you tend not to look at Jalen Guyton other than taking a shot or two a game. But talented young player they like a lot. It would be interesting to see. I mean, again, they run such different routes. You know what I mean? Like, they're different players. Right. But yes.
Would it be Josh Palmer instead?
Yeah.
Or would it be somebody else that is a more slot-like player filling in for Keenan Allen or not? Hard one to decipher, especially this time of the year, right, where it's win or go home. Like, are you really going to be trusting Jalen Guyton or another Chargers wide receiver as your fill-in if you have to have a fill-in for Keenan Allen?
So, I mean, I'll just tell you right now. So, I have, in my Dynasty League, the Dynasty League I'm in with you and Thirsty Kyle and everyone else, I have a pretty good team. The problem with my team? They're all injured.
Right.
I mean, it's Logan Thomas. It's Christian McCaffrey. It's J.K. Dobbins. I lost Rashad Bateman for half the year. I mean, I've had injury after injury after injury in that league. And so just not my year. And I'm always a big believer is that if you don't think you have a legit chance at winning the title, and once McCaffrey, like, you know, without McCaffrey, also Antonio Gibson, and he's been, you know, he was hurt for basically a month and fairly useless. Like, I was like, not my year. So, I mean, I think I'm a big believer in that if you don't have a legit, like a really legit chance at winning your dynasty league, you should be tanking and playing for next year.
Or at least thinking big picture.
Right. Thinking big picture. Right. And so, like, so I traded a lot of my assets that I thought had a lot of value this year, but maybe not as much in dynasty league. Keenan Allen among them, Cordarrelle Patterson among them. The reason I'm telling you all this field is that I am doing what our rule guidelines say, which is we are to set an active lineup in this league, but I'm trying to lose. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so sure. I'm trying to set an active lineup, but I'm also trying to lose. I want to lose for a better draft pick next year. And Jalen Guyton was one of the guys I started this past week.
Ooh, nice job. 4 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown.
I tried so hard. Yeah. And it's just like, right. So, I mean, like, whatever. Antonio Gibson had a huge game. And sure. And Jalen Guyton and Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jared Goff. I literally had, like, the third highest score in the league. And I'm like, what am I doing? Like, when I'm trying to lose, I can't even lose. What are
fantasy
you doing?
In a nutshell. Let's get to the
anyway, but the point is about Jalen Guyton is that, like, I like the player, young talent, certainly worth a look in deeper leagues, but it would be tough to trust, you know, unless you're in a super deep league. Like, he'll make my top 50, but I can't imagine he's anywhere near, like, the top 35.
I would agree on that. Let's get to Monday Night Football, and the Patriots come out with a 14-10 win. Obviously, one of those games that the story really was the weather and the approach that these two teams took. If you didn't see it, I don't know how you missed it, but obviously the winds were gusting. I believe I don't know that we've ever seen as many graphics related to the weather on the Monday Night Football broadcast that I can recall, constantly reminding us that the gusts were up to 50 miles an hour last night.
Honestly, you didn't need a graphic. All you need to do was see the clip that went around on social media of Shefty and Susie Colbert being knocked off their chairs by a gust of wind and Randy Moss also being dislodged from his chair. Sure. Like, they were all sitting there, and then all of a sudden, really strong winds as well. And so, you know, we expected a low scoring, run heavy, grind out game. And that's exactly what we got.
Well, we got that and more as Mac Jones for the Patriots threw 3 times. And I am not at all slipping the tongue. 3 times.
3 times.
2 out of 3 for 19 yards. He had 3 kneel downs at the end of the game to bring his total rushing yards to -3 on the evening. And just 0.5 fantasy points for Mac Jones, which that led to some serious fantasy heartbreak. And I think probably a lot of people felt it. Not that Mac was being started in a ton of leagues, but perhaps in a 2-quarterback league. And that includes the like of this person on Twitter who had some sincere fantasy heartbreak. If we can pull up that tweet, perhaps, or if not, Kyle could perhaps read it. There we go. Talk about a bad beat. This one comes from Joshua. Guy in my league just lost on the Mac Jones kneel downs. He had Mac Jones and Dawson Knox tonight. And he only needed 4 points to win. And he comes up short, losing by 0.24 points, Matthew. Yeah. Those 3 yards at the end of the game cost him the win. Or
Hashtag fantasy life. Like, weird things happen. The Mac Jones's player prop was 191 passing yards. I don't know that there was ever more of a lock of the century than taking the under on that.
Yeah, I know, right? I think his passing attempt at one point was like 19.5. I'm like, wow, like, pound that under. But I'll be honest. I mean, obviously it was so. There's been plenty of talk this morning, as there always is on Twitter, about like the approach the Patriots took and what it meant. And I think probably the bottom line, Matthew, is that if they had fallen behind in that game, Mac Jones probably has no choice but to throw the football, right? But like, you are playing the circumstances of the game, and they were winning. I don't think they ever trailed in this game, right? They had the 7-0 lead early, 8-0 lead early.
Right, then it was 8-7.
8-7, I think 11-7.
Yeah.
11-10, 14-10. So, they decided if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
And this is one of the things we talked about last week as well, which is that I think had it been played in balmy weather, really nice weather, He probably throws more than three times.
Oh, he throws way more than three times.
But he doesn't throw that much more, because here's what my expectation was going into the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know,
the Indy special, right?
What?
You said yesterday, the game,
exactly.
Yeah.
The game that the Colts played, where the Colts were like, we're going to run Jonathan Taylor down your throat until you stop us. And my expectation is that that does a couple things. It controls the clock. It keeps Josh Allen on the sideline. And it also plays to your strengths. The Patriots have a really good offensive line, and they have three running backs they feel really good about now in Damian Harris, Ramondre Stevenson, and Brandon Bolden. So my expectation was a really run-heavy approach against the Bills to begin with.
Yeah.
And then you add in like crazy, crazy cold weather, and you know the tweet from Mac Jones, like from 2015, but that made the rounds also on social media, that he's like he'd never seen snow before.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It felt like the game was going to be a low-scoring, slug-it-out, run-heavy approach, certainly on the Patriots side, and that's what we ended up getting.
And a part of that was Damian Harris, who was, I would think, got to be one of the best players on the field last night, who had 10 carries, 111 yards, and a touchdown, including a 64-yard touchdown run that opened things up.
It was beautiful.
For the Patriots. That was masterclass in that play design, and obviously the execution of that play as well. And Harris had great breakaway speed. He was awesome when he played. Problem was he played just 13 snaps, so he hurt a hamstring in the game, returned, and then seemed to aggravate the injury one more time.
Right.
So keep an eye on going
forward. Yeah, he came back. He returned to the game. He went to the Blue Medical Tent. They checked it out. He came back. They gave him a run. He at full strength, would have popped another one.
Right.
But he clearly, like immediately as he started running and accelerated, like it was clear like he was hopping along on one leg. He still managed a 15-yard run, basically on one hamstring is what that looked like.
Right.
And then he immediately just sort of went to the sideline as opposed to trying to barrel through the last defender. Just went to the sideline, and we didn't see him again. You know, again, whenever we get Stefania back, if we ever get her back from Nashville, we'll ask her about this.
Can't imagine much of an update, though, because they're going to bye week, right?
I was just going to say. Yeah. You know, and I wonder how much of that was, is it serious, or is it just the fact that, like, it was so cold?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, and does that, it's hard to warm up
again,
and, right.
Exactly, yeah.
So, anyway, but just worth noting is that, the Patriots do not play this coming week. But if you don't have a desperate need this week as we head into waivers, Ramondre Stevenson is not rostered in 100% of leagues. It is absolutely worth picking up Ramondre Stevenson on the off. We don't know. Like, we think Harris will be fine for week 15, but we don't know. And certainly, if Harris were to miss week 15, Stevenson would be a must start, like a top 15 play.
Yeah, I would agree on that. And this is the one part about the waiver wire column that I regret, is that the number of players that get dropped week over week that you're just like, how on earth did that happen? And I did not know until Kyle put together the note that Ramondre Stevenson's available in 54% of leagues.
Sure.
Like, you could actually make the case that he is the number one waiver wire ad this week. Now, if you look at the players that make my column otherwise, like, I'm not sure any of them are guaranteed must starts this week, maybe other than Taysom Hill. It's the likes of Sony Michel, who, if Darrell Henderson plays, you can't play Sony Michel. The two Titans running backs who could be useful, they also could sort of vulture each other's value, right? Like, if a world exists where Ramondre Stevenson is the starter for a week or two, starting in week 15, like, he's going to be a top 15 running back,
easy,
we would think, in each of those outings. I believe the Patriots play the Colts coming off their bye on Saturday night, the game that got flexed to Saturday. Let's get to the Bills side. And Josh Allen throws 30 times, so 10 times as much as Mac Jones, 15 for 30, 145 yards with a touchdown. He had 39 rushing yards, and he had 11.7 fantasy points. But in reality, he really should have had 13.7 fantasy points, as there was a fumble exchange between he and Matt Breida. And I got to tell you, it was clearly a fumble that should have been charged to Matt Breida. And if you don't believe me, ask the sheriff himself.
Hey, I mean, he's handing off well. Josh Allen and Breida had a fumbled exchange. By the way, Josh Allen got the blame for that fumble, okay? I don't understand. Matt Breida fumbled it. So Matthew Berry, change the fantasy rules. The running back didn't form a pocket. That fumble goes to Breida. Take it off Josh Allen's fantasy numbers.
Well, listen, Peyton, could not agree more. That was a fumble for Josh Allen. Unfortunately, the fantasy rules is that we have to use the official scoring. Now, when they go back and look at this game, I'm hopeful that they look at that play and they do realize what we all logically saw should have been a Matt Breida fumble, not a Josh Allen fumble.
Yeah.
Clearly, the fault was on Matt Breida. But as of right now, the official score has blamed it on Josh Allen, -2 for Josh Allen. Given how low he scored, my expectation is that may have decided some games, Field Yates. But just on a personal level, how cool was that?
Yeah, Peyton Manning calling out Matthew Berry on the broadcast. That was sweet. It was awesome.
That was cool, really, really cool. I was watching with my wife, and she's like, he just said your name. I'm like, wait, what? Like, it just didn't register to me.
Yeah.
You know, because I watch the Manning cast every week. They're so good. And, like, who knew Peyton Manning knew who I was, right? You know?
We
like,
did a shoot together back in the day,
we did a
right?
shoot. I did an episode of Peyton's Places 2 years ago where we went to the birthplace of fantasy football. So in my life, I've spent 1 hour with Peyton Manning where we did a shoot. But again, that was like 2.5 hours ago. And think about Peyton Manning, who meets 8 billion people. Like even when we were there for the shoot and we're surrounded by security and, you know, we're like still everyone coming up. Can I get a picture? Sure. Hey, love this. Hey, what about this drive? He's one of the most iconic athletes of our generation.
Two counterpoints. You could probably ask Peyton, like, what was the 14th play of the third game of your sophomore year in high school? Like, what did you guys run? He'd probably have that memorized, right? His memory works in a certain way.
Right.
Second of all, he's got kids, right? And kids, I mean,
his kids do
too,
play fantasy
kids
football.
Love fantasy, and obviously you're the GOAT. So I think that was a pretty cool moment all the same.
On a personal level, it was just very, very cool. So thank you, Peyton. And I'm doing my best to get it switched because you're absolutely right on this. It's outrageous. So we'll see what we can do. It's nothing that's in my control. Right? It's just about the bad thing.
We'll find out. So for those that are unfamiliar, here's how it actually works, in case you really care, that the NFL provides all official stats, and we pull our stats from the NFL. So if the NFL were to rule that Mac Jones somehow had 9 passing attempts instead of 2 last night, 3, then we'd have to follow their guidelines. But obviously that's not the point. The point is that, like, sometimes, hey, a half sack that gets credited as a full sack for somebody, or a tackle is actually a tackle for loss, or a 1 yard gain is actually a 2 yard gain, they'll adjust that as they comb through every single play.
Right.
And it's issued Wednesday night into Thursday morning. So if the NFL decides that was actually a fumble by Matt Breida, we'll wake up on Thursday morning and have the information that he is the one that fumbled the ball, and Matt Breida would have 2 fewer fantasy points, and Josh Allen would have 2 more fantasy points.
So for those of you that played against Matt Breida or Josh Allen or have them on your team, in that scenario, you would wake up Thursday morning and the score would have changed to have Josh Allen +2 and Matt Breida -2. And so we've seen this before, and I've written about this in my book Fantasy Life in terms of, like, some of the most brutal ones, like, in terms of, but there have been times where people have lost by half a point because they play in a league where they get a 100-yard bonus, and a player that got 100 yards, it ended up getting turned to 99.
Yeah.
Or there are times where somebody that I ended up losing a league once where because what had originally been ruled a pass, like one of those shovel passes for a touchdown, ended up being changed to a handoff.
I have the best one.
To a rushing, and I lost the 4 points on the receiving touchdown. Yeah.
I have the greatest one. I played the family league. I have a great, great stat correction story. I'll be quick here. I played a family league. So nobody, it was just for pride. There wasn't any money involved. And everybody, you know, certainly I knew the most about fantasy football, but not like I was with a bunch of people that had never seen a football game before.
Okay.
Like, they fairly invested in the league. I'm in the finals. And if you remember, about 4 or 5 years ago, the Cowboys and Lions played on Monday Night Football.
Okay.
This is a 6-point passing touchdown league. And I had Dez Bryant and Zeke Elliott on my team. And I was down by like 30.01 points. Something ridiculous. Or like 40.01 points. And I had Dak and Zeke. And they combined for 5 touchdowns, including in the closing minutes, Dez throwing a touchdown to Zeke.
So I remember this. Yeah.
So I go up by like 0.03 fantasy points and get the win in our finals. A few days later, my opponent, who had Derek Carr as his quarterback, ends up getting like an additional 0.05 points back because there was one of those plays that was ruled a stat correction for Derek Carr. This is when Carr was playing amazing football, right? This was the finals. He didn't realize it. I was so salty about it. I didn't like be like, oh man, like this is, like, that was so awesome that you got the win over me. I was so frustrated.
Yeah, of course.
Fast forward to Easter. And we're talking about it. He's like, I still can't believe that you beat me in the fantasy finals. I'm like, dude, you won the league.
Right.
Like, you won. You got the stat correction. He was like, what? 4 months later, he had no idea. It was great. It was heartbreak for me, but what are you going to do? That's fantasy football for you.
This did not happen to me, but this was in my book, Fantasy Life. I'll tell this one very quickly as well. But to me, this is the worst one I've ever heard. Guy's playing in a big money league.
Okay.
$5,000 are on the line. It's an IDP league. Okay. Goes to bed and he's won. He's won. He's won the league. He's won the league by half a point. It's worth noting, by the way, in this league, you get 1 point per tackle.
Yeah.
Okay. So he goes to bed and he's up. He has won. He's won $5,000 and he's won it by half a point. And he's thrilled. And he wakes up the next morning to discover that he was up 1.5. He's up 1.5 points. And he wakes up the next morning to discover that he has lost by 0.5. So where did this extra 2 points come from? Where did this extra 2 points come from? I don't understand. So he's coming through it. Here's what it was.
Oh, gosh.
The other guy that he was playing had Hakeem Nicks.
Okay.
Give you an idea of how long ago this was.
Yeah.
Eli Manning threw two interceptions, and Hakeem Nicks made the tackle on both of Eli's interceptions. Man. And so he got a point, and it wasn't registered in the initial defensive scoring. So he got 2 points
so bad, but
from
so
Hakeem
good.
Nicks on defensive tackles to win the league. The other guy won the league by 0.5 points, by half a point on two Hakeem Nicks tackles, and the guy lost $5,000.
Wow,
like
brutal.
If Hakeem Nicks only tackles once, he still wins the league.
Right, crazy.
But because Eli threw two picks and Hakeem Nicks made the tackle on each of them, the guy lost by half a point.
That like that's is
the, to me, to this day, that is the worst one I've ever heard.
Yeah, that's really bad. All right, we're going to sort of bypass what we saw from the Bills otherwise, because again, this was such a weird game. Even though their offense threw the ball much more, still, like, I'm not going to hold four catches for 51 yards against Stephon Diggs or Cole Beasley having one catch for 11 yards. Like, they barely threw the ball. Josh Allen completed exactly 50% of his passes. A couple of them were nearly intercepted. Like, it was a weird game last night. Like,
the only thing I was going to say here, I agree with you, throw out everything you saw.
Gabe Davis. Yeah, I think there's a chance we'll see more of Gabe Davis going forward. Maybe that comes at the cost of Emmanuel Sanders. We'll see. But Gabe Davis is starting to earn himself back onto the field more and more and more.
It was nice to see Emmanuel Sanders get six targets. Didn't do much with him. Obviously, none of the passing attack did. But Gabriel Davis got the touchdown. They tried to get him another touchdown. Yep. They ran the
final
exact
play.
Sound. What?
On the final play of the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And so,
or the
for whatever
Bills
it's worth,
play.
Gabriel Davis is somebody that the Dynasty League I just mentioned, where I have Jalen Guyton. I also have Gabriel Davis. I really like the player. I think he's really talented. And so as Emmanuel Sanders, again, Emmanuel Sanders is 34 years old, really nice player, but, you know, it's getting colder. He's a little bit of an older player. Feels like he's playing, I don't have him in front of me, but feels like Emmanuel Sanders is playing less snaps and running less routes over the last couple games than he has been. It's worth noting Gabe Davis has 11 or more fantasy points in 3 of 6 games so far this year.
Yeah.
If anything were to ever happen to Emmanuel Sanders, Gabe Davis is really interesting. But deeper leagues, you know,
maybe keep
you
an
have
eye
some,
on.
Just, yeah, if you have a spot on your roster, you could stash.
Yeah,
I just do think Gabriel Davis is sort of interesting.
Yeah, I think some smart Buffalo media members have been pointing out that, and I don't, the way I have inferred it is not like, hey, Gabe Davis has earned more playing time and it comes at the cost of Emmanuel Sanders. It's just been Gabe Davis has earned more playing time. Well, I'm not sure how that sorts itself out, but it's worth keeping an eye on and whether it does cost one of the other wide receivers some reduced time on the field. We're going to discuss waivers in just a moment. But before we do that, Matthew, Kyle, brings me no joy to toss the baton over to you.
I disagree. I know this brings you joy. This brings you joy. This brings Kyle tremendous joy. Go ahead, Thirsty Kyle. Let's get this over with.
Well, we had a Survivor League decision made last night. And Matthew Berry will not be advancing to week 14 of the Survivor League. After he raked me over the coals about losing last week.
Yeah.
Matthew Berry has been eliminated. Thanks in part to Adam Thielen getting hurt during the game.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Helping you out barely at all.
Not at all.
Mark Ingram and Joe Mixon combined for basically a third of what Mike Clay projected them to do.
Yeah.
They did not have your back this week.
This is Mike Clay's fault, is what you're telling me. Yeah. By the way, also under 12 fantasy points for Dak Prescott, and I went into the week with no Nick Chubb. Obviously, the Browns were on a bye this week.
Yeah.
No Alvin Kamara. Not having him for however long it's been has been really, really tough. No DeAndre Swift. So I go into the week with no DeAndre Swift, no Alvin Kamara, no Nick Chubb. You're already in a hole.
Mm.
Thursday night, Dak Prescott
lays an egg.
Lays an egg. Soft yolk.
Yeah.
I had a choice between Dak Prescott and Taysom Hill, and I made the wrong call. Mm. Clearly, I should have. But I mean, it's Dak, right? How do you bench Dak Prescott? I also had CeeDee Lamb, so I thought that stack might work out. I also thought the volume that Mark Ingram would get in that game with no Alvin Kamara, he was brutal. But I'd have been fine because the rest of my team is actually really good. Like, you know, Hockenson was solid. I'm trying to think, you know, whatever. I had Mixon. I've had Elijah Moore. I'm trying to think who else I have on that team. Pretty good, but it's but yeah, unfortunately, Adam Thielen leaving early. Again, we're down to six.
Down to four?
We're now down to five, but there were six of us left going into the week. There were only six teams left.
We have Stefania Bell, Al Zeidenfeld, Seth Waldron. We have Damian Dabrowski.
Yep.
And we have, who's the last person I'm forgetting? This person should be
right?
Super. Oh yeah, Dennis Clutch Rhino.
Clutch
Rhino. How about that? Yeah. By the way, and so interesting league. Seth Waldron, by the way, who after the first week, this is amazing.
So convinced he was going
to
lose.
There's a $1,000 budget to spend on players that get dropped into the pool. I believe he spent $800 after the first week of the season
to get Zeke. Right, to get somebody who hasn't even been that good.
Yeah, it's amazing. So he has found a way. He has, what's the by hook or by crook, he is still standing. Matthew, a reminder that. Matthew can tell you this, but after this week, one more player will be eliminated, and then the final four will play for aggregate scoring over the final 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, well, this was my team. Dak Prescott, Mark Ingram, Joe Mixon, Antonio Gibson, James Conner, TJ Hockenson at tight end, wide receivers were CeeDee Lamb and Adam Thielen, and but whatever. Dak was brutal, Ingram was brutal, Mixon single-digit fantasy points, 1 point from Adam Thielen. What are you going to do? Wasn't enough. So, unfortunately, I have more time to spend with you here at the 0600, more time to spend with my kids, more times to do, candidly, anything but play in the Survivor League because I have been eliminated. I am muerto. I am dead. My fantasy dream dies here. I think the only thing that we can all take away from this is that I lasted longer than you, Field, and I lasted longer than you, Kyle. Like, wow. So,
and
right, did I lose? Yes. But did I lose better than you guys? Yeah, I did.
You lost nobly.
So there you go. We're down to five.
And we are down to five. We'll come back and discuss waiver wire pickups in just a moment. Before we do that, Matthew, what can you tell us about Geico?
I have no idea. Let me read my sheet. Hey, do you rent or own your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. Mm-hmm. You know what's easy?
What?
Bundling policies with Geico, Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. As soon as Kyle gets to drive, that's something you should be aware of.
Wow.
It's a good thing as well because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan. NFL fans know as the season gets underway, you got to have the right players for all 60 minutes to bring that spark. And sometimes you got to sub someone in to switch things up. Same thing goes for that drink in your hand on game day. So if you're looking to sub in something more refreshing, pour yourself a delicious, crisp Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum and Ginger. Sub in the captain, Captain Morgan, the official spiced rum of the NFL. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Captain near you. Drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
Field Yates, you write the Free Agent Finds column, the waiver wire column. You are here to be helpful to everyone that is entering week 14. You're here to help them solidify their team, to fortify their team, to get their team ready.
Yes, we are.
For this make or break, win or go home week for so many fantasy managers.
That's right.
And yet, I'm not convinced you should.
Okay, how come?
I'll tell you why. Thirsty Kyle, why don't you say on mic what you just texted me during the commercial break?
Well, you guys are losing the poll right now as far as who loves the fans more. Matthew and Field have 36%. Yeah. Stefani and Daniel coming in at 64%.
Wow. You know 64%. You know what we do? I'll tell you what. We got 32 minutes left. And you know what the rest of the podcast is going to be? Me and Field sitting here staring at you.
Wow.
32 minutes of us just going like, how are you doing?
And if we
I'm good.
Talk,
how are you doing? I'm good. How are you doing? Good. I'm good. That's 32 minutes of that.
You get to use the Tiger King voice too. Yeah.
What?
You get to use the Tiger King voice
as
well.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I'll do that.
You know what's happening, though. I know what happened.
What happened?
So Stefania, yeah, obviously in Nashville right now, probably getting a pedicure, if I had to guess.
Yeah, with a mimosa nearby and paparazzi on the outside.
She has paid several of her assistants. Several of them are just spam voting right now. They are creating Twitter accounts just so they can vote in this poll. Stefania, we're on to you. We know your tricks.
We know you're doing this.
We know is what you're up to. Nashville.
It's outrageous.
Work.
It's outrageous.
Work. Yeah.
Going to Nashville, drinking. Send your spam bots after us. Tell you what.
I kind of regret suggesting this. Want to do some waiver wires?
Not kind. I don't, what 36%? What do I care? Fans, you know what? Screw, I'm going to do the Cartman. Screw you guys. I'm out of here. Yeah, I'm outraged. I'm outraged.
Oh, man. Let's
this
do
is my
wire.
Outrageous voice.
Let's do the waiver wire, and I'll start. And
fine,
the number one pickup
it.
Of the week, and I'm going to order these a little bit out of order, but the number one pickup for me this week is Taysom Hill, Saints quarterback who's
available.
I'm just
going to order stuff on Amazon. You Who, knock yourself out.
By the way, you said we're a 36% winner so far?
Yeah.
36. Well, you know what? Taysom Hill is rostered in 36% of leagues. That also makes no sense. Taysom Hill, who last week I thought was the perfect description as to why Taysom Hill is a good fantasy waiver wire pickup this week. Taysom Hill, by the eye test, by statistical measures, did not play well in week 12, week 13. He completed 19 of 41 passes. That's less than 50% of his throws. He threw 4 interceptions last week, and yet he had over 20 fantasy points. The ways in which Taysom Hill makes his money as a fantasy asset are mostly through his legs, as he had 101 rushing yards and just stockpiling passing yards enough to make it worthwhile. So over 20 fantasy points, 20.7 in total. And by the way, he plays the Jets this week, Matthew. I don't know if you finish up your week 14 rankings, but I've got Taysom Hill way up in my quarterback ranks, especially because there are a few quarterbacks that have some interesting matchups this week that maybe depresses their value a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, no, I know the answer to that. I just don't want to tell. I'll tell you off
right,
camera.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I'm not helping these guys out if they
jokers.
Voted against me.
Yeah.
Screw you guys. Figure out your own lineup. What am I doing? All right.
Next.
So here's the 64% of you that voted against me. You guys can tune this out. 36% of you, here's what I will say. Yeah, 1,000%. Like, again, like, over 20 points. Like, he is, I don't think he's ever had less than 17 fantasy points in a game he started at quarterback.
I believe that's correct.
You and I talked him up last week as somebody that was a must add. I'm amazed that
they're not listening.
They're not listening.
Well, 36% of you are listening.
36% of you are listening, but the rest are not. Like, and I would argue we're like, well, I'm fine. I got Dak Prescott. I got Josh Allen. I feel good. You know, whatever. I got Justin Herbert. Tom Brady. I don't need Taysom Hill. This may be true. This may very well be true. But here's what I'm going to tell you something. You may not need him, but someone in your league might. And often's the best offense is a good defense, especially with a fairly thin waiver wire this week. I have no problem picking up Taysom Hill and never using him. But I'm going to tell you, as long as he's the starting quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, he's going to be a top 10 fantasy quarterback. And he's only going to get better. Again, over 20 fantasy points with the 4 interceptions. Just imagine if he cuts that down a little bit, which I think he will. Like, the rushing keeps his floor so high.
It does. He's just, you know, for fantasy purposes, it does not matter how you look to the eye test. It does not matter what kind of quarterback
Correct.
You are in real life. We just want 20 fantasy points. Taysom Hill's a good bet to deliver it. The next player up is not my number 2 waiver ad of the week, Matthew. He might be, though. You know, I'll put him there just for now. Let's put
Okay.
him. So Sony Michel for the Rams last week led all running backs across the NFL in terms of percentage of snaps played for his team. He handled basically every running back touch for the Rams this past weekend. Darrell Henderson had 0. The results were really good. He had 21.9 fantasy points. He had 129 yards. He had 3 catches. He's the only Rams running back this year with over 100 rushing yards in a game. Now, Darrell Henderson did dress for the game. He was active. He didn't play at all. So what does that tell me? That decision to play him may have been just as much about the fact that the Rams only have 3 running backs on their roster anyways, that maybe he's really not that close to playing. Like, maybe Darrell Henderson could be out again on Monday night. And if he's out again on Monday night, Sony Michel's a top 20 play this week at running back, and those are really hard to find right now in the waiver wire.
1,000%. You know, he got the opportunity, and he produced. Now, it was in Jackson. It was against Jacksonville. And the other challenge here is that hopefully we'll get some reporting into the weekend, but again, it's the Monday night game. We may
Sean
not
McVay's
know.
Sean pretty good about this stuff.
What?
Though. Sean McVay is pretty good about
Usually,
this stuff.
Usually, yes. Yep. So hopefully we'll get some good reporting on this in terms of where the Rams are at with Darrell Henderson. By the way, and Field does a great job with this when you follow him on Twitter as well at Field Yates, is that, you know, we'll look at, like, do they sign another running back to their practice squad or something
right.
That, you know,
elevate
cetera, somebody, yeah. You know. So some of the other moves that the Rams make transactionally this week may also be a hint as to how confident they are with Darrell Henderson. I candidly was surprised they went into that game with just 3 running backs, one of whom is Darrell Henderson. Like, I was surprised they didn't elevate somebody else.
They're probably like Cooper Kupp can just run the ball if we need him to.
Right, maybe.
Did you see the video Cooper Kupp describing
that play.
It's awesome.
Super. I mean, like, yeah, it was just like, no wonder Sean McVay loves him.
Well, I was going to quote tweet it and say Cooper McVay.
Yeah.
But then I was like, no, you're going to get a bunch of people distracting. You say, no, it's Matthew's little Cooper Kupp McVay. So I didn't want to, you know, mix two separate jokes there, but it was awesome. It's great. Cooper Kupp seems like a really smart guy.
Cooper Kupp is, on many levels, a super easy guy to root for.
Can I say that number three on this list, and there's a pretty good case, by the way, for Dontrell Hilliard and Deontay Foreman. We've just talked about them so much, and we've sort of made our peace with them that, like, I think we prefer Dontrell Hilliard to Deontay Foreman. I think there's a chance Deontay Foreman out-touches and out-snaps him in coming weeks. Like, I don't have a great grip on how Tennessee wants to divvy up those touches. That being said, like...
To me, the challenge, though, is that I feel like Deontay Foreman's role, pure talent-wise, I actually think I prefer Hilliard. He's more involved in the passing game, just like what I see out of him. But from a role standpoint, we just don't know what's going on with the health of Jeremy McNichols. And so the concern there is that feels like Deontay Foreman is clearly their first and second down short yardage back. I mean, although Hilliard scored on a, you know, like whatever it was, a first or second down, but like the big touchdown run was a run. It wasn't like a pass.
Right.
But if McNichols is back, feels like he would eat more into Hilliard's role than Foreman's.
Correct. And so that's why I decided to go with Carlos Hyde as my third ad.
Interesting.
And this
Before we move on, I would just say, like, and it's interesting because they play against each other. That's worth noting is that Hilliard, Foreman, and Carlos Hyde are playing against each other this Sunday. Jags and Titans is the game for both those teams.
It brings me very little joy to bring up Carlos Hyde as an ad, not because nothing against Carlos Hyde, but it's because there's something really fishy going on right now with James Robinson and the Jaguars. There's been some odd mixed messaging. I've been following along. Mike DeRocco at ESPN DeRocco on Twitter does a great job covering the Jaguars for us, has been sort of tweeting his way through all this, is that it was unclear whether James Robinson sat out for a portion of that game on Sunday because of his knee injury or whatever injury he's dealing with right now. There's been a lot of them recently. It's hard to keep track of them all. Or because of his performance. James Robinson suggested he may have been benched.
He fumbled. He lost a fumble. Yeah.
He came back into the game late. Urban Meyer was like, that's Bernie Parmalee, our running back coach's decision. And someone asked him, like, was that a smart thing to do to bring in your very talented running back late in the game? And he was like, that probably was unwise. Like, some weird passing of the buck, like kind of throwing your assistant coach under the bus.
That's so weird because Urban Meyer usually a really stand-up guy. Mm. So odd that he in this one case, and only this one case, passed the buck, didn't take responsibility, and sort of threw his running back coach under the bus. Because super weird. Normally, Urban is always a guy that, you know, is right there front and center, facing the tough questions, owning up to his mistakes, you know.
Tough for Bernie Parmalee, who
he's usually that guy.
I actually know Bernie. We worked together in Kansas City. One of the nicest people ever, too. So it's like, yeah, great. Like, you know, you only know my name when I get thrown under the bus. Let's talk about Carlos Hyde.
Just to be clear, I'm not an Urban Meyer fan.
I couldn't pick that up.
Could you not pick that up? Not a fan.
As far as the value of Carlos Hyde goes, there's certainly some major risk here because James Robinson may play on Sunday. He may be announced as a starter. He may go into the game and play the first 10 snaps and then not play any further. So Carlos Hyde is only usable if we found out that James Robinson, A, wasn't going to be available due to injury, or B, like, get straight up benched, which that just seems so unlikely, even as unusual as things have been throughout all season in Jacksonville. That being said, Carlos Hyde, when he gets the opportunities, like, he's still a sufficient pass-catching running back. He's a guy that can handle 15 or 16 carries if need be in a game. I don't know that they're going to be playing with a lead very frequently. I also think there's a chance on Sunday that this game against Tennessee is not like a 20-point blowout, right? Just because of Tennessee's offensive limitations right now. So he's an add just in case. Keep an eye out on Carlos Hyde, but I do think there are other options that have more upside. Let's get to the wide receivers, though. And I'm going to start with one that I think has maybe potentially more long-term value for the rest of the season. And that's Russell Gage, who was a trendy preseason sleeper. Perhaps he's become a post-hype asset. As he stumbled out of the gates, he got hurt early, missed a bunch of time. Over his past six games, he has 44 targets. Over his past three games, he's got, I think, 28 targets, maybe 26 targets. He's been very busy over the past three games. Over his past two games, he has up over 40 total fantasy points, so an average just above 20 points per game. And it's not that this Falcons offense is super dynamic or explosive week in and week out, but if you look at who has to catch the ball right now, there are basically three guys. Obviously, yeah. Kyle Pitts, but that's been a lot less frequent than we'd hoped for. Cordarrelle Patterson, but he's also carrying the ball. And then Russell Gage. Like, he seems like the best bet of the wide receivers in Atlanta to have five, maybe seven catches in a given week and somewhere between 50 and 80 receiving yards, which is certainly good enough to have him on the flex radar.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think this was a little bit of an outlier game, you know, where he had, you know, sort of this monster 11 catches on 12 targets for 130 yards.
Target share's been really good.
He's been used quite a bit so far this year. They're the third heaviest passing team in the red zone. The NFL, like, their defense is bad. They're going to have to be throwing. They're at Carolina this week. So, yes, I would not want him in a standard league. It would need to be a 12-team or deeper PPR league.
Yeah.
But, yes, he is absolutely a viable asset in a league that size or deeper.
Probably worth noting, and we don't wish this for anybody, but absent, like, an injury taking place, there's not many waiver wire ads right now that are 10-team league ads, right? Like, for the most part, it's you play in a 16-team league and, like, almost everybody is rostered. That's the depth that we are reaching right now. This might be an exception. I don't know if it's a 10-team league ad, but I do think that KJ Osborne has some value in the short term.
I agree with
Osborne
that.
Is a guy who obviously has had a couple of big games this year. He had a big game this past week, 4 catches, 47 yards, and a touchdown. Osborne's a good player from Minnesota, a third wide receiver who could be the number two wide receiver for some period of time. Adam Thielen is already a long shot to be playing this Thursday night against the Steelers. Matter of fact, I'd be stunned if he did play on Thursday night. So, KJ Osborne, probably the number two wideout opposite of Justin Jefferson, who, by the way, how good has that guy been this year? He is just unbelievably talented, is Justin Jefferson. There's a case that he should have been wide receiver one this season. Well, Cooper Kupp. But amongst the guys that we were discussing in the top five wide receivers, Jefferson may have been the one that probably should have gone first out of all of
Debo,
them.
Then maybe Jefferson.
Right. No, I mean, those guys have, but like of players that we were discussing, right?
People that were being drafted as a wide receiver.
Cooper
Kupp
and Debo were like, hey, those are like top 15-ish wide receivers. Like guys like Jefferson just been
Debo was going as like in the wide receiver in the 40s.
Right.
Among wide receivers. Like Ayuk was going, you know, three, four, five rounds ahead.
Crazy how things
Debo. But listen, he's had five different games. KJ Osborne has five different games this year with at least five targets. That in those games, he's averaging 15.2 fantasy points. So when he has gotten work, he's been productive. It is one of the more pass-heavy offenses, the Vikings. And so with no Adam Thielen expected on Thursday, I like KJ Osborne as a pickup this week and as a viable wide receiver three for as long as Adam Thielen is out.
The Waiver Wire column is available in full on ESPN Plus right now. You can check it out every Tuesday. It has the names that you need to know. A couple other interesting names on this board. Didn't quite get the chance to talk about them, but again, week 14, not too many slam dunk must adds. I do think Rashad Penny is kind of interesting for Seattle.
They don't have any. They want to run the ball. They so far have been unable to. It does not feel like they're getting anything out of Alex Collins. I know Adrian Peterson scored the touchdown, but whatever, like, Adrian is at a stage in his career where he's not going to get the heavy workload.
You see his stat line?
He
might get the workload.
Right.
He's not going to do anything.
Was it like seven for 16 and
11
a touchdown?
11
for 16. I mean, like, yeah. So anyway,
that's crazy.
Rashad Penny is, of all the guys they have there, and I know Travis Homer had the big one long big run, but feels like Rashad Penny has the most juice of any of those guys. Yeah. And former first round pick who struggled with injuries but healthy now. And yeah, if I was taking a stab at a Seahawks running back, Rashad Penny strikes me as the guy. Once again, I want to remind you, not up here on the board before you, but we talked about it earlier in the show, Ramondre Stevenson, not going to play this week.
Right.
Patriots on a bye, but very much worth picking up. The other name there, we talked about Hilliard and Foreman, we talked about the Titans guy, but Field, how about Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
He's been better recently for the Packers, obviously coming off of their bye. I believe he has four catches in back-to-back games. If you're looking for a home run, he's kind of the guy, right?
Yeah.
I wrote about this in the lead of this week's Waiver Wire column, is that like it's extremely important to know your needs right now. If you're 10-3 so far and you either solidified the number one seed or at least, you know, a top two or three seed in your playoff bracket, like you probably don't need to upset the apple cart too much. But if you're 7-6 and there are three other teams that are 7-6, you need to win, but you're playing the best team in the league this week. Like, Marquez Valdes-Scantling might be the kind of swing for the fences player you can throw into your flex, understanding that he's just as likely to get you 2 points as he is 15 points. But if you don't get 15, you may have no chance against your opponent this week.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly right. And look, again, to your point about just sort of knowing your roster needs, like, If you're like, you know what, I'm in first place, I'm good, I'm fully healthy. Well, look.
Defense.
Right.
Defense.
Like, who are you playing this week? Who are you playing in the playoff? Do they need a quarterback? Okay, grab Taysom Hill. Right. Stash him. Like, or, you know, just solidify your insurance, your backup. Okay, sure. Like, you have Joe Mixon. Make sure you have Samaje Perine. You have David Montgomery. Make sure you have Khalil Herbert, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about the Alexander Madisons and the Jamal Williams of the world, but you just saw it this past week, whether it was Madison, whether it was Sony Michel, if you had Daryl Henderson, like having backups where you know there's a clear guy that would take over the role if anything were to happen to the starter, I think it's so important, right? I mean, Tony Pollard had some standalone flex value, but again, if anything were to, if Zeke were to miss a game, Tony Pollard would easily be an RB1. And, you know, Kamara with Ingram. Obviously, Ingram had a brutal game on Thursday night, but generally speaking, Ingram's been good while Kamara has been out. So I just think that's important, is to sort of solidify your base, right? Solidify your depth to the extent that it is. And in some, there are some cases where there are here's like, again, we saw it this past week. He didn't have a great game, but like if I had Darren Waller, Foster Moreau,
yeah,
right. I mean, like again. Sort of, you know, people like that. If you have Logan Thomas, Ricky Seals-Jones, or John Bates. Again, it'll be Ricky Seals-Jones if he's healthy, but he's missed the last couple games. He's got a hip injury. They like John Bates, and that offense uses a tight end. And so, again, Emmanuel Sanders, Gabe Davis, as we just talked about. Like, again, for me, it's about depth. Because we're now, after this week, we're past the byes, and now you're heading into the playoffs. And so it's just about making sure you can start the best possible lineup every single week.
Let's finish up with some wide receiver chatter, some leftovers from week 13. But before we do that, Matthew will tell us a little bit about Capital One.
Everyone likes shopping online, but searching for coupon codes? Kind of a bummer. So make sense. Make saving online a breeze with Capital One Shopping. Capital One Shopping, of course, is a free tool that instantly searches for available coupon codes and then automatically applies them at checkout. Just download Capital One Shopping to your computer and let it do the work for you. That sounds like a pretty good deal. So easy, you don't even need a Capital One card to use it. That's right, it's free to everyone. Capital One Shopping is kind of genius. What's in your wallet? Savings and available coupons vary.
Where did I just put my sheet? You think about major life-changing moments you've had, like buying your first car, getting married, having your first kid, or moving to a new city. Of course, there's also landing that big job you've been going after, which can bring new opportunities for growth, hopefully a higher salary, new coworkers, new friends, and awesome new career achievements. Whether you're trying to get your first real job out of college, achieve a new title, or land your dream job, you should go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy, because ZipRecruiter makes it easy to find that next job that could change your life. How? ZipRecruiter acts like your free personal recruiter. When you create a free profile, ZipRecruiter starts working for you. They send you jobs that match your skills and experience. And they even pitch your profile to employers whose job match your experience. If someone from that company really likes what they see, they can personally invite you to apply for their job. No wonder ZipRecruiter is the number one rated job site by G2. So if you're looking for that life-changing job, ZipRecruiter is a game changer. They make your whole job search experience better. Sign up for free on ZipRecruiter.com/easy today. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/easy right now to sign up absolutely free and put ZipRecruiter to work for you. All right, time now for us to empty the bucket from week 13 on wide receivers. We had more running back talk yesterday. If you want to go back and listen to yesterday's show, obviously available anywhere you get your podcasts. So the Bengals have recently seen not quite a changing of a guard, Matthew, but Tegan's been the more dominant receiver for them in back-to-back weeks. For the second straight game in week 13, he set a new season high for fantasy points. It went from 23.4 in week 12 to 28.8 in week 13. However, he was held under 14 fantasy points in the previous six games prior to that. Meanwhile, Ja'Marr Chase, just 10.2 fantasy points, and obviously a long, long could-have-been touchdown that he dropped, turned into an interception instead. It would have been a 71-yard bomb. You a little nervous about Ja'Marr Chase at all? Like, it's just under, 10.4 fantasy points over his last five games. Concerned at all or no?
So, yes and no. And so, by that, I mean, not to fence it here, but am I concerned about Ja'Marr Chase? Sure. He's averaging, 10 fantasy points per game over the last five after averaging over 20 in all the games previous, right? But to your point, he comes down with that 71-yard touchdown, and I think the narrative around him is much, much different, right? Because that's a right there.
Yeah.
That's basically a 14 point play. So I'm concerned in that, right, it does seem to have dropped off recently. The last couple of weeks, he hasn't been getting the volume and the target share that you would want. He's been more touchdown dependent. Games he scores, great. Games he doesn't, not looking pretty. So I'm concerned. But then I'm not concerned in this regard. I don't know what you do about it.
Mm.
I can't imagine that you have a wide receiver on your team with more upside and more talent than Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I feel like you just sort of got to keep rolling him out there and hope. Like, I can't imagine benching Ja'Marr Chase. It's a good quarterback. It's a good offense. It's a passer. It's a pass-heavy offense. I know they've gone more run-heavy recently with Mixon, but they're still going to be throwing a decent amount. And Ja'Marr Chase, just too talented. You know, I don't know. For me, the leagues that I have Chase, I'm still rolling him out there.
Yeah,
I don't know that there's an actionable item, I guess. I don't think there is either. Am I concerned? Yes, but I'm not doing anything about it.
No, it's probably just normalizing a little bit, right? We had this conversation, I think, a week ago when I was saying that, remember back in the early days of the season where four of Ja'Marr Chase's first 16 catches went for a touchdown? Like, believe it or not, even a guy who is clearly a bona fide star in Ja'Marr Chase is not going to catch a touchdown on 25% of his total overall receptions. Just curious, though, just... in a world in which you had the choice to choose between these two for the rest of the season, do you still prefer Chase to Higgins?
I think so.
I do, too.
I mean, like, you know, recency bias is easy. Yeah. Like, the last two games, Higgins has been great. But the longer track record this year of Ja'Marr Chase being a fantasy superstar than T. Higgins.
Yeah,
but
Kevin Paulson passes along that, like, they actually have been fairly equal in terms of both targets and air yards all season. Chase has just cashed in more than T. Higgins has up until recent weeks. Here's the bottom line. They have two excellent wide receivers. Good problem for them to have.
Absolutely.
All right, I want this to be... Here's what I'm wondering. Can we put an end to the Mike Williams chatter right now? Because I think we've said it so many times that we're just beating a dead horse. Anytime beyond this. Mike Williams is what he is, Matthew, right? Yep. He had 16 fantasy points this past week, 5 catches for 110 yards, a near touchdown. He had 92 yards in the first quarter, went 0-for in the second and third quarters, finished with 18 yards in the fourth quarter. But the bottom line is, like, you're either committed to Mike Williams or you're out on Mike Williams, and there is no gray area. Even if Keenan Allen sits, Matthew, like, we've seen him have prime opportunities before, and cash in a major way or not cash in at all.
Yeah, exactly right. And again, we've talked about these kind of wide receivers a decent amount, Christian Kirk being one of them. Like, there's a handful of wide receivers where you just got to, like, you're either starting them every week or you're not. Trying to figure out when this is going to be a Mike Williams week or this is not going to be a Mike Williams week is a little bit tougher.
Mm.
But certainly, if Keenan Allen is not going to play this week or maybe at less than 100% just because he's coming off the COVID list again, Amari Cooper played on Thursday night, but he had missed two games with COVID, and you could see, like, the conditioning wasn't back just yet. I mean, right. Amari Cooper didn't play a ton of snaps. I think he only caught two balls against...
Every player is different, though, right? T.J. Watt had 3.5 sacks. Like, it's hard to... We have no idea, right?
We have no idea. There's no question about it. But Mike Williams should be a big part, regardless of any of that. Mike Williams should be a big part of what the Chargers do offensively this week. And I don't know. I think you're just starting him and hoping, right? Or never starting him.
Yeah.
But trying to be like, this is the week where he comes down in the end zone. This is the week where he gets a big game. To me, it's a little bit tougher because there have been times in which we've seen, well, this is a game in which they really give up the deep ball or they're really vulnerable in the red zone. You're like, well, this should be a Mike Williams game, right? And then does nothing. And you're like, oh, well, this is a game where he's going to be shadowed by a very good corner. And, you know, it's a team that's more of a run funnel defense. And then, you know, Mike Williams has 100 yards and a touchdown.
Right.
So, yeah. So for me, I'm just sort of, yes, he is volatile. He's a risk reward wide receiver 3. But I think with players like that, you have to just generally, you just start him every week and not think about it.
How about the year for Jalen Waddle right now for the Miami Dolphins? Yeah.
Do you want to Waddle again? You Waddle on national television.
Probably not. I think I'm
Sunday.
Good. It was digital TV.
Do we have that gif again? Of,
no, I don't.
Of
I think
field
it's been
waddling?
Erased. It's been erased from all ESPN servers.
I don't believe
Only
that.
Only available
to be the case.
At Matthew TMR on Twitter and Instagram.
I have it in my phone.
Yeah, you can use
it. I sent it to everyone I know.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
Waddling. It's going to be my Christmas card.
Wow, no wonder George Clooney reached out to me about it yesterday. You said that. That was nice of you.
I appreciate
it. I know
that.
George has been really enjoying the show so far this year. Jalen Waddle's on pace to break the rookie receiver reception record for this year. Anquan Boldin at 101, the most ever for a rookie. Jalen Waddle's on pace, even if they just played 16 games like Anquan Boldin got back in his day, he still would break the record if he keeps up his current pace, Matthew. But the most interesting part about all this remains the same thing we keep telling you about. He's averaging less than 10 yards per catch. In PPR scoring, Jalen Waddle, though, is an absolute monster right now. He is like, and I want this to be said in a very complimentary way because he is a really good player, as is the player that I'm going to draw a comparison to. He is performing like Jarvis Landry used to for the Dolphins with more touchdown upside, right? I mean, Landry used to roll out of bed and get you 5 to 8 catches a game, 100 for the course of the season, and sometimes like only 1,100 yards, but that was totally fine.
Yeah, the Dolphins are a really interesting team because coming into the year, I think they were sort of a trendy sleeper team, and they got off to an awful start. But you know what? They've played a lot better, as has Tua, as has that defense. They're on a bye this week, so they now have 2 weeks to prepare for the Jets. And then you've got they're at New Orleans, at Tennessee, home to New England in week 18. But, you know, Jets, Saints, and Titans – Saints are a good defense, but who knows what their season looks like 3 weeks from now, right? And at the moment, Jets and Titans certainly don't scare you defensively.
Yeah, Dolphins have been a good story. They obviously have won 5 straight games going into their bye. We'll wrap things up.
I don't know if there's a takeaway there other than just Jalen Waddle's awesome.
There might be a takeaway here, Matthew.
Okay.
Brandon Cooks, 3 catches for 38 yards plus 16 rushing yards. He's been held under 14 fantasy points in 4 straight games. Held under 4 catches in all 3 games since the Week 10 bye. Now it's looking more and more like Davis Mills is going to be the starting quarterback this week and perhaps going forward for the Houston Texans. I got to be honest with you. Like, Brandon Cooks was a player that earlier this year I might have felt comfortable starting every single week. I'm not sure I'm at that point anymore because there's so little upside. Not because of him, the player.
Yeah.
The Texans, Kyle, how many times have they been shut out this year? Like it's been like,
so
a lot, but but how about we track this part down? 10 or fewer points, like 1 or fewer touchdowns in the course of a game. That's got to have happened like at least 3 or 4 times this year. If I had
try
to guess.
Six,
six wow. times with 1 or fewer touchdowns.
Well, under 10 points.
Under 10 points. So basically, I mean, you can't score 2 touchdowns and have more than and fewer than 10 points. So like, they are just as likely to not score or to score 1 touchdown in a game as they are multiple touchdowns in a game. And then you're banking on that 1 touchdown being scored by Brandon Cooks. Well, he may be the best bet to score the touchdown amongst their players. Like, they do have other guys. They get paid too, right? So I think if I could be, I would be out of the business of starting Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I certainly this week where they play Seattle, a Seahawks defense that's, you know, played better recently.
Yeah, better.
Right? Definitely played better. Guess what? Week 15 at Jacksonville.
Yeah.
So what I would do if I had Brandon Cooks, and I do actually have Brandon Cooks in a couple leagues, I think you're benching this week against Seattle, see what he does, see what who's the quarterback, how the Texans perform. But assuming there's at least some form of life, that you're starting probably against the Jags in week 15.
Yeah.
And then we'll deal with it, you know, and the schedule gets a little dicer there. But certainly week 15 against the Jaguars, I think you're probably starting him.
Tough
there.
Year for him. Obviously, things have nowhere to go but up going forward for the Texans offense. We'll see what they do this offseason. We'll be interested to see where things land there. Specifically at quarterback, I would guess Tyrod Taylor is our starter going into 2022. Kyle?
You know what I was just going to say?
Yeah.
Can I tell you something?
Sure.
You know what makes a great gift idea?
Rotopass.com?
Rotopass.com makes a great
It sure does.
Gift idea. As we're sitting here a couple of weeks away from the holidays, and there's a fantasy player in your life, maybe it's even you. It makes a great gift to somebody you love or somebody like yourself. It makes a great self-gift and a great gift to somebody else. Rotopass.com, for those that aren't aware, is a portal site that gives you access to 6 great fantasy sites, including ESPN+. You get a year subscription to everything. So you sign up today. You don't have to pay again until 12 months from today. So not until December 2022. So it takes you all through this offseason. Takes you for awesome. Those that play in Dynasty, that play in best ball, it's great stuff. For people who do DFS, we have DFS lineup optimizers, right? So throughout the playoffs. And then, oh, by the way, next August when you're preparing for your season-long drafts. Again, great analysis, great tools, great sites for whatever you play. Dynasty, best ball, super flex, you know, you name it. Keeper, rookie, even season long, of course, as well. Just check it out at rotopass.com. Use the promo code 0600 for 10% off. Again, 12 months of everything, including ESPN Plus. You can watch my show. You can read Fields' column. You can read my column. You can see everything that ESPN Plus has to offer. Honestly, if you look at how much it costs to subscribe to 12 months of ESPN Plus, and then you look at how much it costs to subscribe to 12 months of RotoPass, not that much more.
Crazy. It's, great
and
value.
So you're
there.
Basically getting these other five sites thrown in for free. So
the Deebo Samuel, in terms of value of things that you could put your money towards for better fantasy analysis. Before we say goodbye, Kyle, can you give us one last update on the poll?
You guys are flirting with 40%. So we've made progress. It's still up for another 22 and a half hours. We'll update it tomorrow, but we do have a tweet coming in here about, you know, how the general public is feeling.
Okay.
Kyle Hamilton mentioned that Matthew would sell him up the river for more RotoPass and Field would do it for some beer. So he's worried about your guys' loyalty toward him.
Yeah, but at least I'm here, Kyle Hamilton. At least I'm, you know what, like, I'm freaking here. Stefania and Daniel would not be right here to support you. I'll tell you exactly where they would be. Wow. They'd be on a boondoggle.
Yeah,
Daniel's at some Daniel's at some terrible club, some terrible, dingy, dark club, listening to a band you've never heard of, while Stefania's getting pedicures and being fed grapes in the city of Nashville, and she's about to go and have music and party up. I'm here. Field's here. Kyle's here. You know who cares about you?
Us.
The three of us.
These guys.
Kyle Hamilton. I want to hear it.
It's fighting words from Kyle Hamilton.
Absolutely. Wow. You know what? If this poll doesn't get up to 50%, I'm taking tomorrow off. I won't show up.
Wow. Okay.
How about them apples?
Maybe Matthew will be here tomorrow. Maybe he will not be. But either way, we will have the latest on week 14 rankings chatter, plus any sort of news that we might get as it pertains to injuries or otherwise, plus all sorts of fun fodder leading into the final regular season week for most leagues of your fantasy football regular season. For Matthew and Kyle, I am Phil. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday.
Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, Matthew Berryville, searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry. He's Matthew Berry.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.